Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, November 10th, 2019.
First reading of the day comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God shows you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well. For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What does that tell you? There's no time like the present, is there? Now, I'm not saying that the past or the future are insignificant by any means. Quite to the contrary. If we don't learn from past mistakes, we can expect to do the same things over and over again. Well, there's also great value in planning ahead and setting goals. However, when you really get down to it, the one thing that really matters in the here and now is the here and now. The past is the past. You can't change that. And who knows here what the future will hold? You can make all the plans you want for the days and months and years ahead, but things change unexpectedly and quite quickly. Now, in saying this, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to persuade you to abandon your past memories or your hopes for a bright future. But what I am saying is this: any comfort and peace that you may derive from looking back or looking ahead cannot compare to the comfort and peace that is right here and now. Mentioned we're celebrating Veterans Day tomorrow. And as we take this occasion to recall the sacrifice of our armed forces, I want you to think about today what it's like for our fighting men and women who are deployed in some faraway land. Now, that has to be awfully tough, right? To be separated from your loved ones, from your spouse and your children for weeks, months, and sometimes possibly even years. Now, have you ever seen one of those moments on television? And you know what I'm talking about. When a family's waiting and they surprise them with their loved one who has been away in the armed forces. Now, given to being an old stodgy Lutheran like I am, I don't get very tearful, but that always brings a tear to my eye. Watching that soldier hold his spouse and children tightly, knowing that at that moment, absolutely nothing else in the world matters. Not memories of the past, not dreams of the future. Nothing can compare to the joy that is experienced in that present moment. And so, as we turn to the gospel text for today, it might just seem to you as though Jesus is fixating on the future when he's talking to the Sadducees about the coming resurrection and the day of final judgment. In fact, if you look at the word and listen to Jesus closely enough, you might just detect a little irritation in his voice as he explains to the Sadducees the realities of marriage in this earthly life and compares them to the resurrection life that will come when he comes again. Excuse me. The Sadducees. Those guys were a rather odd group of fellows. In many ways, they were like their religious counterparts, the Pharisees. But in other ways, they could not be more different. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. They did believe in the law. They believed in the law to the letter. And that's why, since their father Moses never made specific use of the word resurrection in his writings, well then, it just couldn't be true. And that's kind of interesting. I thought about their argument. And then I was thinking about those brothers and sisters in Christ who would oppose infant baptism today. Same kind of argument. But anyway, this is true. Moses never used the word resurrection. But Moses spoke very clearly of a rule called levirate law. Now, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, it explained how a man's family name was to be carried on if he were to pass away before having a son of his own. If the husband died, the brother of the deceased was obligated by law to take his brother's widow as his wife for the purpose of having a son with her, to serve as heir for the deceased brother. The son born of the union of brother and widow would be considered the son of the deceased man. How would that work in culture today? Sure sounds a little bit strange, right? Almost creepy. But in saying that, I will say this as well. An outdated law. But the Sadducees, despite their own sinful ignorance, understood something. They had one thing right, that we in our culture have long since abandoned. That it was unthinkable to imagine a baby being born out of wedlock. For a child to be born of a woman, she had to be first taken as a wife. as God would have it. And folks, as we should as well. Well, suffice to say, the Sadducees leapt on this opportunity to challenge Jesus about this alleged resurrection from the dead. So they argued with him. They said, a woman could not be a wife to seven brothers in the resurrection. Well, she wouldn't be. But they didn't get it. And that's why Jesus got so exasperated. His opponents didn't want to get it. They wanted to be right. And they weren't about to let any facts get in their way. That kind of willful and sinful and selfish ignorance was dangerous. And it's damning. It was then and it still is today. But the Sadducees were still determined to focus on the laws of the past to influence the future. Now, some people who are into history might say, well, hey, what's wrong with that? We can learn from the past. Well, in this case, we learn this. No one can keep those laws in the past. No one here can keep them today. And no one can rely on their own obedience to the law in order to save them from death and hell. Only faith in Jesus Christ can do that. And their refusal to believe in the resurrection gave people no hope for the future. Their demands that people live up to the letter of the law were putting lost souls on a road to hell. And there they were, with Jesus, standing with Jesus. God was with them in the present and among them to point them to eternal realities and the joy of knowing God personally in Christ. God was with them. God is with us. But they couldn't see it because they were too busy looking to prove themselves right. They weren't concerned about the comfort and peace that only God Almighty can give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those men were intent on forging their own kind of peace and comfort by simply following the letter of the law. A futile pursuit, and a hopeless way that robs soul of any peace and comfort whatsoever. Let me ask you, if I may, have you ever tried to follow God's law to the letter? I remember all those years ago when I was in confirmation that I thought I could do that. I found out how well that worked. How does that work for you? You know, if you're being honest with yourself and with God, you despair of your inability to do it. Or worse yet, you convince yourself that you're doing a great job of meeting God's righteous requirements. And you're sure that when you die, God is going to welcome you with a pat on the back and a high five before presenting you to all the saints to tell them about all that good and charitable stuff you did while you were here on earth. My friends, I hope no one is thinking that today. But if you are, good luck. And may God have mercy on your soul. I was also thinking about this yesterday as I officiated at Dorothy Clyden's funeral. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people attempt to comfort a grieving person by saying something like this. He was a good man. He lived a good life. He's in a better place right now. He's looking down on you and smiling right now. Don't worry. You'll see him again someday when you die. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you mean well when you want to comfort someone. And I know you mean well when you say things like that. But think about those words before you ever say them again. And don't say them, okay? You've got to understand that such words are empty and meaningless. And they are incapable of offering any genuine comfort and peace to the bereaved. Because there is but one true source of comfort and peace. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the death He suffered on the cross. So that you may have eternal life with Him. So, do you really want to be able to say something that offers true peace and comfort to a grieving family member or a friend? Here it is. Speak the truth. Point them to the cross. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the eternal joy to be found in death. Yes, death, His death, and the death of those who have been joined to Him. The death that we experienced, that Archer and Abby experienced today in the waters of baptism, where we died to sin and rose to life in Christ, where we are sealed by Him into eternal life with our Father in heaven. Well, you might be thinking, I know people have said this to me before, Pastor, you love to talk about baptism, don't you? Pastor, you spend a lot of time talking about baptism. Why don't you move on? I've had people say this to me. I mean, that was a long time ago, right? I can't even remember when I was an infant. Exactly what comfort is baptism supposed to give me now? How about coming up with something new and fresh? Something I can feel. Something I can use that will assure me that I'm good with God. You know, I hear that quite often. And if that's what anyone has ever thought or is thinking now, you might as well be a Sadducee. Because why are you trying to limit God to what you feel and what you think you understand? Are you almighty and eternal? God is. You come with an expiration date. God does not. And he continues to see you all as children. Children who have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed clean of sin and the death that sin had brought upon us. God comes to you. He comes to us all. And he brings us to himself. And he has washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you and I cannot return to Calvary. We cannot go there. But we can go to his table when he comes to us under this bread and wine, so that we receive to ourselves the very body and blood of our Lord, the Lord who has conquered the grave and death and has given us his name and identity in the waters of holy baptism. You're looking for something you can use? That, my friends, you can use. And that, my friends, is something you all need. You see, we are bound by laws and the boundaries of time while we are on this side of eternity, which is why our loving God brings the victory to us. We are baptized children of God. This is how God sees us here on earth, as well as all the faithful believers who stand before him in heaven today, the entire communion of saints, washed and covered in Christ's eternal victory. And so this, my friends, is the purest peace and comfort we can ever know. This is the peace and comfort which transcends all human understanding. And this is the peace and comfort which is ours before we ever existed, and is ours today, and will be ours forevermore, solely because of the eternal love and gospel that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.